Broadcasting live from Miami Beach, North Miami. The all-new Gospel AM 1490 WMBM. Your home for Drive at 5 with MJ.
Good day, Miami. This is City of Miami Commissioner Francis Suarez. As the president of the League of Cities, welcome to Making History, the Power of a Diverse Community. As we join elected officials discussing initiatives in their cities and in the federal government that promote the power of culturally diverse communities. And now this week's edition of Making History, the Power of a Diverse Community. Good day, Miami. This is City of Miami Commissioner and Chairman of the League of Cities, Francis Suarez. It's been a pleasure to host the Black History Month series, Making History, the Power of a Diverse Community, this past month with WMBM AM 1490. The League of Cities is an organization whose mission it is to work with cities in Dade County to fight for the issues that concern our residents, that concern all of you, the listeners, and for the cities to go to the different governments, whether they be state government, whether they be federal government, and advocate for the issues that are important to you. We've been around since 1953. And as chairman of the organization, I thought it was important to highlight the work of local officials and community activists that are making amazing things happen in Dade County in honor of Black History Month. Today, we close out this show. I really wanted to do something a little bit different. First, I wanted to invite Timothy Barber. Tim Barber is a good friend. He is the executive director of the Black Archives, which are in the City of Miami, in the Historic Lyric Theater. And I wanted him to call in and share with us some personal stories of some of the legacies that are being left behind by community leaders in Miami and our ancestors. So please welcome me in joining Tim Barber.
Tim, hey, how you doing, Commissioner? Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's great to have you, Tim. Before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the Black Archives? Why is this organization so important to Miami-Dade County?
Well, again, my name is Timothy Barber. I'm the executive director of the Black Archives, History and Research Foundation of South Florida Historic Lyric Theater. The Black Archives, founded in 1977 by Dr. Dorothy Jenkins Fields, and the Lyric Theater, which we are housed at now, was restored, built in 1913 by a black businessman. Now, you ask why Black history is so important. It's very important because I normally have a model when I ask people, if you don't know where you come from, you'll never know. And many people say, know where you're going, but I always like to say, you'll never know when people are trying to.
Where you coming from, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely. You'll never know when they're trying to take you back. So that's why black history is so important. The history of black Miami is so important. You know, if I was to tell you that, if I'd have said that, you know, there would be no city of Miami without black people, you know, what would many people say? You know, I say that a lot. I'm here in D.C. now with a solid Association for the Study of African American Life and History, and when I tell people up here that, you know, if it wasn't for black people in 1896, Miami wouldn't exist. They're in awe at the black men that was able to vote to incorporate the city. So that's why it's so important that we celebrate this history, because leave it to man, we would not even have black history.
Without a doubt, and you know, it's been an honor and a privilege for 7 years working with you to revive the Lyric Theater, to get it opened up again so that we can preserve the history of Overtown. As we know, areas like Overtown and many traditionally black areas are dealing with forces of gentrification, of development. And I think it's imperative that organizations like the Black Archive and the Lyric Theater that you have been championing for such a long time, that we invest in maintaining those organizations vibrant so that we can preserve the history of our community, which, as you said, is really the history of Miami and the history of how Miami was created. So, you know, we've partnered up with WMDM for this series because we wanted the community to know about the awesome things being done by African Americans from a policy perspective and the legacies that have been created past and present. So can you tell us in your words the history of Black Miami and some of the pioneers that have left an important and significant footprint in our community?
Well, definitely. You cannot, you know, talk about black history in Miami and its importance without talking about people like D.A. Dorsey, who was the first black millionaire in Miami, who at one time owned Fisher Island. And the most important thing about that, to recognize in 1918, that Dick Dorsey wanted to turn the island into a colored resort because blacks were not allowed to go to Miami Beach, Hollywood Beach. You know, he wanted to, make a place. So you can't talk about black history without talking about Dick Dorsey, the first black millionaire. You talk about Kelsey Farr, Father James Comer, the Archbishop of St. Agnes, who played a very vital role in creating Liberty Square housing project, what many people call the pork and beans, but it was Liberty Square, which was a phenomenal place for people to live. It was started by the federal government during the Franklin Delano Roosevelt. You talk about James E. Scott, this athlete Range, who was a phenomenal commissioner at one time. We can go and talk about Theodore Gibson. I mean, who was, you know, Miami, the history that exists, you know, and the people that exist in Miami of color played a very significant role. A lot of times people drive down these streets and you see the names of these people, names on these street markers. But, you know, how many people today can look and say, I know who those persons were and what their contribution was to the history of Miami. Many people like you, Commissioner, I know you know, yep. and thank you for the support that you've done for the Lyric Theater over the many years. I sat in your office and, you listened to and addressed it, so I really appreciate it. But, you know, many people, don't take the opportunity to really learn about these significant, I call them patriots of our society. So there are a number of people that you can call out, that played a pivotal role in the way that Miami is. Of course, Dr. Jenkins Fields, the founder of the Black Archives, who quietly, who would not, if it wasn't for her, keeping these records, a lot of the lost buildings in Miami would be gone at this time. So these are some significant people.
Absolutely, and we're working hard now in the CRA to restore the Dorsey Library and renovate it. And yes. One of the things that the Lyric Theater has been instrumental as a partner and also sort of sharing a venue with the Folk Life District and the history of jazz and music in our Overtown community and the history of that in Overtown, I think is something that we are very proud of in the city of Miami, but it's also something that we need to continue to invest in, and we have to continue to highlight and to grow. We've tried to make Overtown a tourist destination, and it's something that we've made significant progress on. Working with my colleague Keon Hardiman, who's on the commission now, his predecessor Michelle Spence Jones, who I had the privilege of chairing the city commission meeting when I passed the gavel to bond out the CRA monies, which created a tremendous amount of affordable housing and development that we see now coming to Overtown. So it's been an amazing few years, and we're seeing the transformation of Overtown. But we want to do that without sacrificing what is its history and enriching it and making it a tourist destination. And so tell us a little bit about how the Lyric, what kind of activities is the Lyric doing? What are the kinds of things that we can expect to bring people to Overtown to experience at the Lyric?
The biggest thing what the Lyric has done, and you mentioned former Commissioner Ms. Justin Jones and how important it was for her to get the construction completed as well. But the Lyric, what we're doing at the Historic Lyric Theater is becoming an anchor for that community, a destination. We know that the Overtown area, historically, it was the three levels of economics that helped the area survive, from the poor to the middle class to the rich that lived in this area based on Jim Crow laws at the time. We knew that this is how that neighborhood became a sustainable entity, going back to Flagler and Julius Huddle feeling that Miami was a tourist destination, in which it is today. We know that Overtown needs to survive off of tourist dollars. That economy that comes into comes into Miami annually. So what we're doing at the Lyric Theater is trying to create events that will bring people that don't know much about the community or went away from the community back to the community, giving them a reason, like we do the amateur night every first Friday, similar to the Apollo of each month, designed to bring people that's not from the community into the community so that really they will spend money. but at the same time, creating an awareness through historical documentation, through the archives. We get people as far as France that come and do the research on Black Miami, you know, and also doing this through exhibitions. Like now we have the Barack Obama exhibit, which leaves on Tuesday.
Amazing.
We're trying to bring this new and interesting programming into Overtown, so that many people that would normally not come to Overtown will come not just once a year, but on a regular basis to see the different activities. And what this does for the Lyric Theaters is that this allows us to provide jobs for the residents, because in order to run that 54,000-square-foot facility, we need docents, we need security guards, we need from everything from housekeeping to management people, you know, that manages the activity. And the more activity we have, the more we can provide jobs to the residents of that community. So that's why, you know, we're important. And not only that, it's bridging the gap. I'm here in D.C., and I just walked all the way to a place called Lincoln Waffles, and right next to the place where Abraham Lincoln was assassinated, you know, and where he died. And I walked the streets, and I'm looking at the street vendors there, and I'm looking at all the tourists walking along these cobblestone walkways. The interesting thing about this neighborhood where Abraham Lincoln was shot in D.C. was that all the buildings wasn't developed. They're boarded up buildings. But the people are walking these streets because of the history that is here. The same thing can happen for the neighborhoods in Miami, from Overtown to Liberty City to Coconut Grove, to West Grove to Little Haiti, you know, all the, and Brownsville. So that's what the Lyric Theater is trying to lead that charge, and bringing people back to Black history and wanting to be a part of Black history in Miami.
Well, I really appreciate you being on, Tim. It's this is the last show that we're doing in Black History Month on this series, but we wanted to change it up a little bit today. We had previously elected officials. Today we have activists and members of the historic community giving sort of a historical perspective on Black history in the city of Miami and also throughout the county. So thank you again for joining us from Tallahassee. And now I'm going to bring on a good friend of mine, and I'm sure a good friend of yours, Patrick Range, to talk a little bit about his mom and the history of her tenacity in serving the citizens of the city of Miami. Thank you so much, Tim.
Thank you so much, Commissioner, for considering me, and I appreciate your support.
Great. Thank you. Pat, are you on?
Yes. Good afternoon.
Hey. So now we have on one of my good friends, Patrick Range, who is the grandson of the great athlete Ma Range. And he's someone who I've known for many, many years. I've had the opportunity. He's a sort of a contemporary of mine, a contemporary in the sense that we both are lawyers, unfortunately. but beyond that, and more importantly, we're friends. Someone who I admire tremendously for the way he goes about his business. And, you know, hopefully when our careers are done, Pat, you know, people will be talking about us and the legacy that we've left and the history that we've created. But in the meantime, let's talk about our predecessors who have left such an indelible mark on our city. And I'd like for you to tell us a little bit about some of the fond memories that you have about your grandmother and her legacy.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, good afternoon to everyone, and thank you so much, Commissioner Suarez, for considering including me in this conversation, and also thank you, WNBM, for hosting this program, which is so important, you know, to our community, especially in this month of Black History. So I'm really honored to be able to be with you today. You know, my memories of my grandmother are just, you know, numerous. You know, she was such a large person here. In this community, not large in stature, obviously. She was very short, but very big, you know, to the community and for the community. You know, I get reminders. Some of my best memories come to me almost every day because inevitably I bump into someone out in the community, on the street, who says, "Oh, you're Patrick Range, you're Athlete Range's grandson." And I say, "Yes, absolutely." And then they go on to tell me a story of how she helped them or helped their family or a family member or helped an organization of theirs in the community. And that just speaks to, you know, the person that she was and what she was really about and really what, you know, what we should try to be about as good citizens here in the city of Miami and in the Black community here in Miami. So The memories are numerous, but you know, certainly the fondest ones for me are for folks who come to me and tell me how she touched their lives.
You know, it's funny because some of the fondest memories that I have of my father and his legacy are precisely the same thing. In other words, you know, sometimes you'll get people that'll talk about some of the things that are sort of the macro issues, things that he accomplished as mayor, you know, walking through the riots in the late 1980s, and some other big moments in his career. But more often than not, a week doesn't go by or 2 weeks don't go by without someone coming up to me and said, "Hey, you know, your father was instrumental in me getting my first job, or he represented me as a lawyer for free when he was a young lawyer, or, you know, when he was mayor, you know, I became a city employee and I was an employee during the time that he was mayor." So, I mean, I it's funny because and in many ways, you know, that's sort of the legacy that I hope that I can leave for my son. I really hope that when he, you know, I have a 3-year-old. I hope that when he, you know, is walking around the city, somebody will tap him on the shoulder or stop him in a grocery store and say, "Hey, you look a lot like Francis Suarez." And his name is Andrew. And is he your dad? You know, and then if he says yes, hopefully he'll say yes. He'll admit it. You know, he'll say, and the person will say, you know, he did this for me or he did that for me. And, you know, I think, you know, oftentimes we confuse legacy with big ticket things. You know, they had to have done some big ticket things. But I think, I suspect that even some of the people with major legacies, like the Dr. King and others, they did so many little things that the compilation of the little things that they did for people almost on an individual or daily basis probably exceeds the accomplishments that they had at the macro level, which obviously are the things that we remember because no one forgets I Have a Dream. No one forgets, you know, those big moments. But sort of connect with you on that because that's exactly how I feel with respect to my father.
Indeed, and I'm sure that's the reason why we are as good friends as we are, Francis, because I know that you have that appreciation, you know, for your father's legacy and those little things, you know, in the same way that I do with my grandmother.
I think we carry the blessing and the burden, if you will, of the name, and I think...
Yes.
You know, the blessing, of course, is that we were exposed to wonderful people who cared about others and who dedicated their life to the well-being of others. And, of course, the curse is that you got to stay straight on the straight and narrow always and always make sure that you're respectful of that legacy and that you're responsible in the way you carry that legacy. So I know you carry it well because I see you day in and day out and I get to spend time with you and follow your career. And, you know, I'm honored to call you a friend, and I hope to do many good things with you in the years to come.
Indeed. Well, certainly the future is ahead of us, Francis, and, you know, we have big shoes to fill. So I definitely look forward to working with you in the future to help fill those shoes that that walked this community for so many years and did so many things.
Thank you, my brother, for being available on a Friday and sharing some of those wonderful stories about your grandmother. And now we're going to have Dewey Knight join us. This is a great way, and thank you for joining us, Dewey. I think this is a great way to close out our Black History Month series that's sponsored by the Miami-Dade League of Cities. Dewey, first of all, it's good to have you and another good friend, someone who's been around the family for many, many years. Dewey, can you tell us a little bit about some of the fond memories you have of your father and what legacy you feel he's left behind?
Well, you guys stole my thunder. You and Patrick, we all kind of live the same lives and been blessed and burdened with the same type of things. I agree, not a week goes by. And really, it's the smaller things that I'm really proud of the same. When someone comes and says they bought my school clothes for my children, or they did, your daddy helped me get my first job, or your mother. I'm always grateful, and those are the things that the community thing. So I have the same thoughts that you have. The other thing is, my dad was pretty much the first in everything at Miami-Dade County in terms of moving up the ranks in a tough time when African Americans were just starting to move. And I'm very proud of the fact that most of those departments he helped to shape and to have African Americans be included in the higher
echelon of those departments and Hispanics. I'm glad that he was able to help trailblaze most of the departments in Dade County, and to prove that African Americans and anything other than Anglos could do the job. That's pretty much his legacy to me. And the other legacy is what he did in our neighborhood. My dad would cook crabs. At that time, crabs were plentiful. He was from Daytona Beach. He would have the whole neighborhood, 30 or 40 kids there. If he bought a swimming pool for me, and we weren't blessed like you and your big house that I knew when you were growing up. So
I got a little house now. My dad had a big house then, though.
Yes, he did. I remember that. Yeah, when he bought a swimming pool for my backyard, he bought my neighbors one the same, even because he knew they couldn't afford it. And so we all participated as a community, and that is what kept crime down. That is what motivated my neighbors to say that they could improve and they could become somebody. All of them became successful because we were in the community. And I am very proud of that, as you should be of your dad.
Thank you. Yeah, and let me tell you, your story is reminding me of two things. One is, I just came literally before coming on the show to our solid waste department that has had its second annual Black History Month celebration. And we have a wonderful, city where not only in that department, but in all our other departments, we celebrate diversity. We embrace diversity. We want to see diversity. And we think that diversity makes us stronger. Also, in the commission meeting on Thursday, we recognized all of our Black upper level executives, and we had over 30 high level executives in the city of Miami that we recognized. So, we really put a premium on having an inclusive and diverse city government, because that's what mirrors our population, first of all. And there's a lot of wonderfully capable people from all different ethnic groups, and we need to make sure that we are giving people an opportunity to succeed in our city, because that benefits all of us.
Well, you were raised that way. You're a chip off the old block. And I don't want to date myself, but I started in politics early, and I was around your father. Your father didn't see color, and he raised you the same. Your father had me in an article on racial profiling in the 1980s because I complained to him one day that the policeman in Broward County followed me. And way before racial profiling became an issue, he had the Miami Herald come out and do a story about racial profiling. The housing that is on 7th Avenue, Edison Garden, those were controversial. People didn't want those, and even the commissioner of that district at the time, your father had to smooth that over to convince him that these people needed this affordable, decent housing there. So I know where you come from, and I know, and I watch you now. You're a chip off the old block.
And let me tell you, the similar one to that we had was a few years ago, where we were deciding whether or not we were going to bond out the money to save the CRA, and nobody wanted to make the motion. I was the chairman of the city commission, and as chairman, procedurally, you're not supposed to make motions unless you pass the gavel. So you actually have to give up control of the chairmanship to make a motion. And I remember I was sitting with Neil Shiver, who's someone that used to work for Commissioner Spence Jones, and he now works in the CRA. And he looks over at me and he goes, "You know what you're going to have to do, right?" And I said, "What I got to do, Neil?" And he says, "You have to be a leader." And sometimes, and I said, "I know exactly what you mean." I literally, and Michelle was delivering a very impassioned plea. She was actually crying at that moment. And I moved the gavel and made the motion to move the bond forward. And that is what's produced $60 million of affordable housing in Overtown.
Most important. And other things, that will go down in history as one of your most important votes. Whatever you do for the rest of your life, because it has done so many things, not only the housing, and we are grateful to you for that.
And it has, and it's the Overtown now has a shopping center, which it never used to have.
Yeah.
It used to be what they call a food desert. you know, and now it has a shopping center like every other neighborhood has. We have Gibson Park, which is an incredible facility for kids to play football and play basketball. I mean, the neighborhood has just completely transformed. You know, we obviously have a lot of work to do, and I think that's what we talked to Tim Barber about. We talked to Patrick Range about it, you know, about continuing the process of highlighting why diversity matters, not only in Dade County, but in all our individual cities. We are stronger when we are together and more diverse, and when we're listening to each other and caring for each other. So, listen, it's an honor to have you on the show, Dewey. I love you. Hope to see you soon. Thank you for always being so supportive of all the projects that I'm involved in, and you know, it's a blessing to have you and talking about your legacy and your dad's legacy.
Thanks for having me. I love you, and thanks for what you do for this community.
Take
care,
God. You
grew up, and you're doing a great job.
Thank you. So just want to close out with a message to our listeners. We want to encourage you to get involved, you know, to make a difference. That's what the legacy is that you will be leaving behind. We want to thank our listeners for tuning into our show, WMBM 1490. I'm City of Miami Commissioner Francis Suarez. I'm also the president of the League of Cities. I've been fortunate and honored to be here with this wonderful team over here at WMBM, making everything run smoothly here for the last month as we've had this magnificent show that has been focused on highlighting the first of all, our history and our diversity as a community. Secondly, wanting to really give our Black elected officials an opportunity and a platform to talk about all the wonderful things that they're doing for you, our bosses. And oftentimes the media, you know, inundates us with bad news and things that are not positive. And we just want you to know that there are people that are working every single minute of every single day to make life better for each and every one of us. So for me, it's just an honor. And may God continue to bless each and every one of you. And may we continue to pray for our good Bishop Curry, who we hope is getting better and better.
He is, Commissioner. I just want to take a quick moment and thank you on behalf of Bishop. I know you met with him several times in the past, and certainly we appreciate this is the first that we've had a series such as this on WMBM. So we applaud your efforts, of course, our very own beloved Bishop Curry. And we want to give a special thanks to Commissioner Michelle Spence-Jones and Gail Say, because, again, this has been a team effort and certainly one that we want to continue because we want to showcase and let everyone know the great work that our community has done. We'll continue to do the legacies that have been built, and we'll continue to grow. So thank you so much on behalf of all of us.
God bless. Thank you for tuning in to Making History, the Power of a Diverse Community. Join us next week Friday at 2:30 p.m. here on Gospel AM 1490 WMBM.